IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. We are here. We are finally here. Two teams left in the NBA right now. We are here on the verge of the NBA final, just a couple of days away. It's going to be the Boston Celtics from the East and the Golden State Warriors from the West. Start of the season, neither of us would have picked those teams because Golden State Warriors were just coming out from two bad seasons. Clay, you didn't know what shape Clay was going to be in. First season back together, don't know how it would perform. I didn't predict the Warriors to come here. The Celtics, well, even in January, I didn't predict. I wouldn't have picked the Celtics because they're languishing in 11th spot. Let's talk about the NBA Finals in today's episode. Also, let's take a look back at Game 7 from Miami. Miami Heat versus Boston Celtics, in which the Celtics nearly got knocked out themselves. So all about that on today's episode.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
Okay, let's start off with that game. Let's eliminate Miami even from our podcast before we move on to the finals. Fun game 7, 100-96 the final score. And while the Celtics were in control throughout the game, in the end, it looked like they choked. And I think you brought up the stat a couple of episodes earlier where you said the Boston Celtics do not have a great track record in close games and in clutch situations. Yeah. And they had 11-point lead with 3 minutes left.
Almost pissed it away.
Yeah, almost threw it away. The Miami Heat made 11-2 run. Jimmy Butler was in great form. And Max Strus out of nowhere hit a ridiculous three and then got a dunk out of nowhere, offensive rebound and dunk. Didn't see that coming. And suddenly, before you knew it, it was a 5-point game. With the Boston Celtics missing a shot, Jimmy Butler, Max Strus hit the three, made it a 2-point game. And then Jimmy Butler got the rebound or somehow he got the ball on the transition. And then inexplicably almost pulled up from three. Now, you could debate, well, it was an open shot. It could have gone in. He would have been the hero of the day. But like the probabilities would suggest, the percentages would suggest. He's a 23% three-point shooter throughout the regular season. I know he went 4 from 8 in the previous game. When he took that shot, I was like, what are you doing? I almost screamed it out in my head. What are you doing? He could have gone for the layup. He would have probably even got a 2+1 because it was just Al Horford defending him. He would have probably tried to foul him you don't know what would have happened. There was more probability of him making the two and then getting an and one or taking the game to overtime. Either ways. But you went for an all or nothing shot and then you front rimmed it. Obviously, because you played 48 minutes and 46 minutes in game 6. And that was that. And then
It was fatigue maybe. He undershot it.
Exactly. He played all but 2 minutes in the last two games.
Yeah.
What did you make of that shot, first of all? When you saw Jimmy Butler take that shot, were you expecting it to go in? Because listening to a few podcasts, and some of them said that the kind of form he was in... it was definitely going to go in. I don't think so. I do not trust Jimmy Butler as a three-point shooter, first of all. If it was Max Strus taking that shot, I would still live with it. If Tyler Hero took that shot, I would live with it. Lowry took that shot, I would have lived with it. Jimmy Butler, great player. I would have expected him to go to the bucket and get a two-pointer. I would have liked that. But the minute he pulled up, I was like, nah, this is over. What was going on in your head?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. Again, first and foremost being, are the Lakers seriously saying they'll retain Westbrook? I can't get my... I can't get past that. I don't care what's happening.
The Lakers at this point of time are irrelevant. I know they got a new coach and who knows how that will turn out. But at this point of the season, they're irrelevant.
Imagine NBA Finals are up and that's all I can think about. No,
I mean, it's me talking about the Lakers because when the season ends, everyone's back focusing on the Lakers.
Of course, it has to be. Tell you what though, Celtics will tie the Lakers if they take the finals. So maybe not all Lakers talk. Look, Butler took that shot. I don't know. I think you ask if like a lot of analysts or experts or whatever, they thought given the form that he was in, they thought it might go in. I have the same problem that apparently Butler has, which is I don't pay enough attention to statistics in the heat of the moment. So no, it did not strike me at all that that shot will go in or that Butler was in red hot form. I just, on pure gut instinct, you look at Butler pulling up from three to take the game and you think, oh, fuck, this is going to end badly. I don't remember. I'm sure he's hit big shots. It's just not a memory that flashes readily to my head. And by the way, had Strus or Herro taken that shot, you say we'd be okay, but only if it goes in, we'd be lambasting them if that was a miss.
Of course.
Saying
of
you should have passed it to the better player.
I meant is it's a still a higher probability shot than if a Butler took that shot.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the shot per se. It's easier said than done. I think clutch players are equal parts composure to decide what shot to take and just your skill to make it go in. And sometimes just that touch of magic. Kawhi, that infinite bounce shot.
Yeah,
or
that was a low probability shot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or Kobe comes to mind. Some of those ridiculous... Some buzzer beaters were great. Some of them were just pure magic. Like it was muscle memory, he chucked it up and somehow it went in, right? So it's not all of them are all skill. So it's okay. I'm okay with the shot. I remember the Sachin analogy from before. Let me use another cricket analogy that I shared with you earlier. This reminds me of Misbahul Haq in the T20 final, India versus Pakistan. One bad shot, one bad decision right at the end in the clutch, threw away the trophy. It was theirs to win. It really was until that shot. Who the fuck considers Joginder Sharma your best threat in the last over? It was theirs to lose. That trophy was theirs to lose. And that one bad decision, one bad shot, threw it all away. But can you really blame him? Because without him, it wouldn't even have come to that. The game would have ended in like the 10th over without Misbah. And with Butler, it's a lot like that. It's not even this game. It's this series. It's this entire season. Would they even be here without Jimmy Butler? Because he covered up for everything. He covered up Absolutely. For Bam going missing on the offensive end a lot of games. He covered up for Lowry missing. And these are significant because these are experienced players. These are players you count on in moments like these. What you don't count on, but you got anyway, is True stepping up, is Herro again continuing a decent run of form and all of those things. But Butler was their talisman. And so you live and die by these results. I think what's clear to me is with this Miami squad, they're really overachieving, but I don't see them winning anything, not with this makeup. They've got to make a switch at some point. That is and for whom that is, it remains to be seen. Because they went to the finals once, they've now come to the conference finals, and they just come up short. There's just something there that's missing. Now, if they're confident that Strus and Herro can develop into the caliber of players they need, that can actually take over these series going forward with guidance from Butler and Bam can step up, then okay. But I don't see it. I live with that shot. Not a very high percentage shot, but with those legs, end of the game, whatever.
Exactly. And that was where I was going to next. What do Miami do from here? Because one finals appearance, one almost finals appearance, game 7 of the conference finals. No small feat. But look at this lineup. Kyle Lowry is old. PJ Tucker is old. Jimmy Butler missed a lot of the regular season.
Yeah.
You can't really depend on these guys to put up yet another fight and take them all the way. You will have them missing games. This happened this series itself. Kyle Lowry missed the first half of the series. PJ Tucker was injured. It's just that it's PJ Tucker, so he was out there. He's a fighter, right? And Jimmy Butler, he spoke about this after game six as well, that his knees were gone and Dwayne Wade called him up and said, it doesn't matter, you have to show up. And that was just him fighting it out. Now, can you do it all over again? I doubt it. I really think they need pieces. I don't know where that'll come from, but they really need pieces. This team is not going to win them titles. They cannot go all the way. They could probably reach yet another conference final. I wouldn't put past them, just given the attitude of these guys. But I don't see them winning at all with this lineup.
You may be well onto something. I think, I don't know, it depends on how many years they think Butler has on those legs left. But they have a great young core. I'm looking at, say, a Duncan Robinson that so many teams in the league could use coming off the bench, maybe some teams even in the starting lineup. That's a tradable asset for me. I mean, they're not using him. You might as well make something of it. It's the same thing they did last season with the guy that I don't even remember now, who used to be their starting point guard. Kendrick Nunn, I'm joking, but they did that with him. They weren't using him. They traded him away. And the reason I'm joking is because he came to the Lakers and then did nothing also. But Robinson stayed. Well, they have a couple of other young, interesting young talent. Lowry, Tucker, I wouldn't overthink it. I think these are, at this point, they're traveling salesmen. They're more for NBA algorithms than a franchise to plan their future around. So that's okay. I think they're still valuable veterans to have, but won't really base too much on them. I think they have some good young talent. It's now up to them to decide which one of them they see growing with the team in the long run, because a lot of these are just now upcoming. Like Strus had like half a good season. Are you really going to... would you stake your entire Indiana Pacers future on TJ Warren? You've seen him for like one bubble bit and then he's disappeared ever since. So it's decisions time. I think they have a good problem to solve, which is they have a lot of young talent, a lot of tradable assets at good prices. In exchange for which they can pick up high-value players, which is, when you think about it, what Miami do best. Barring the LeBron super team, what they do best is this. They pick up high-value players. Yep. They buy low, they sell high, or they retain. But they really develop, I won't say unwanted assets, but not so hot assets into a rock-solid team that does what they do time and again. So I think you'll see more of that, a little more of that from Miami next season.
Agreed. Now, moving on to the NBA Finals. We're finally here, the Warriors and the Celtics. And these teams have earned it. I think the Celtics had the toughest road possible to the finals. Absolutely. They beat the Brooklyn Nets, they beat Milwaukee Bucks, and then they beat the conference leaders, Miami Heat. So they've had the toughest stretch right now. And I wouldn't put it past them to beat the Warriors. But, of course, it comes with a lot of disclaimers, right? And the Warriors, in fact, they had a pretty relatively easier stretch. They did not meet the Phoenix Suns at all because Luka eliminated the Suns for them. But they met Luka, and it was definitely Luka against the Warriors. I mean, the rest of the team were not on par with the Warriors in terms of roster strength. Memphis Grizzlies, first time in such a big situation, you would expect the Warriors to beat them. And Denver Nuggets, it was just Jokic. I mean, they didn't have their number 2 and number 3 stars, so... The Warriors relatively had an easier path when compared to the Celtics. Celtics had the toughest route amongst all the teams, I would say. And like I said, early season, none of us would have picked the Celtics or the Warriors. Warriors, if they were returning back from injuries, they're putting together this team, you didn't know what you're going to get back from Klay. You didn't know at the start of the playoffs, because these three, Draymond, Steph and Klay, had played just 11 minutes going into the playoffs in the regular season. And for them to just sink as if nothing really changed was incredible to watch. And then, of course, you have Steph in that team, so anything is possible there. So, once they were in the playoffs, I had better hopes on the Warriors. But until the playoffs, I mean, you didn't know what you were going to get from this team, right? Even during the first stretch of the season, they put together an 18-2 run to start the season, I remember. And then I'm like, okay, this looks like the Warriors unit. Then Draymond got injured and you're like, don't know. Steph got injured and like, okay, this team has not even played together. So, I don't know. The Celtics, on the other hand, first 45 games, they were 22-23. They were in 11th spot. And then something happened during the All-Star break. I don't know what Udoka did in the All-Star break. Yeah. The team just changed. They ended the season on a 30-6 run. And then the playoffs, they swept the Brooklyn Nets. Yes, we expected them to win the series, but a sweep. We didn't see that coming. They beat Giannis. I know Middleton was out, but they still got through Giannis. And then they beat Miami Heat. I think Miami Heat stretched them a little more than they would have liked, but they beat them. It's a contrast in the way they reached them. The tough postseason schedule. The early form versus the late form of the Celtics. I mean, the Warriors had a great run early in the season. The Celtics had a great run second part of the season, right? So it's a contrasting ways they reach there. And also, if you look at this lineups, I think there are a little bit of contrast in the way they play basketball. I mean, Celtics is more defense-minded, and it'll be wrong to say that the Warriors are not, because they're the second-best defensive unit. But primarily, when you think of the Warriors, you think of three-point shooting, you think of fast breaks, transition points, and all of entertaining basketball. Celtics are more like, well, methodical, if I could put it in that way. Right, what's your early pick for the series, Celtics or the Warriors, and why would you pick them?
You don't bet against Steph Curry. I'm picking the Warriors. I think Celtics have the perfect fairy tale setup, though. If they can clinch this, just the poetic magnitude of it all to match Lakers all time in NBA trophies won. We can nitpick when those were won and all of that, but the total is the total. So they match the Lakers all time. Jason Tatum, what a rise. And he's one draft class junior to Jalen Brown, and for him to take over this team, make it absolutely clear. I think for a while they had a Black Panther situation where, you know, it wasn't clear, and the blasphemy of certain people, including some people I'm looking at, of even suggesting that Jalen Brown could be anywhere close to Jason Tatum is laughable. I said that before. Thank God he proved me right. I wasn't all that sure, but I thought, no, makes a little sense. It's a great story. It's a great story, the run they've had to the finals. But I somehow feel this Boston Celtics side may also be slightly overachieving. I think Udoka did a phenomenal job since Jan of getting them into shape. It's a squad that still relies a little too much on that three ball. It's not a strategy that gives you a lot of comfort. Ironic as it is, when that's pretty much why you would go ahead and pick the Warriors. There's only one team that I've seen it do that, consistently and actually win championships off of three shooting. So happy to be proven wrong, but until I am, I think the Warriors have more championship DNA. They know how to get to the finish line. They know how to close games. They're monsters in the third quarter, which means they finish games off where they can. And if it goes to the fourth quarter, they really know how to get clutch stops, go back at the other end and get some points on the board. The Celtics don't have Draymond. They don't have Steph. They don't have all these figures. And for that reason, just the characters and the overall team chemistry, I'm picking the Warriors.
Hello, hello, hello. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Think Fast, Varun and Sushita discussed the Twitter sting operation and Jack Ma pulling out of Paytm. On Cap Gemini's Techipedia series, Shailaditya speaks to Anand Chandramouli and Deepak Solanki about sustainable harvesting practices through digital farming. On The Wire Talks, Siddharth talks to author and translator Navdeep Suri about the partition and the Jallianwala Bagh massacre. On Marathi Kirkitun, the Deshmukhs explore how animals and birds gauge their sense of distance in the environment. And on Big Talk About Tiny Humans, Devi Shobha and Meghna explain the right way to talk to children about sex and sexuality. We've got some exciting news for you. IVM Podcast has launched merchandise and our first line is out now. Head to the IVM Podcast website and click on the Shop tab and check out the first collection of t-shirts. Do follow us on social media as well. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Also, don't forget to rate us on any of the platforms you're listening to us on, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple, wherever you do that, that is really helpful for us. And do remember, you can also check a lot of our shows out on YouTube. If you go to ivmpodcast.com/YouTube, you get a list of all of our channels. We're also doing a small listener survey, so please do help us out with that. If you go to ivmpodcast.com/survey, it'll help us understand a little bit more about our listeners. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, SBI Life Insurance, Jupiter, a digital banking app, and Capgemini. Get the future you want. Thank you so much. Without you guys, this wouldn't be possible.
I agree. I was trying to put it together, like, why would I pick the Celtics and why would I pick the Warriors? Why would I pick the Celtics? Multiple reasons. I mean, like you said, a fairy tale run. They've seen tougher teams than the Warriors, so I wouldn't put it past them to beat the Warriors. I mean, there's a chance. It's not like they're going in like the Mavs. They're not
maybe
the underdogs.
Size also. Managed maybe size a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. They're better matched in terms of size because Looney was the main guy for the Warriors. He was the X factor, if I could call it that, right? Against Memphis, against Mavericks, because they did not have really that center who could dominate. The Celtics have Robert Williams, who was coming back from injury, Al Horford, Tice if needed, Grant Williams if needed. So size-wise, I think Looney's impact would be reduced. Wiggins against Tatum. I think Tatum might be a better matchup for Wiggins than Luka was. I know Luka went and scored 30 and 40, but I think Tatum would do much better than what Luka did, just in terms of handling a team, because he has better support. Like, if you compare the second best guy on the team, I think Jaylen Brown is way better than, say, Brunson or Dinwiddie or whoever it was. So that way, I think the Celtics are better matched. Yeah. And all of that. I mean, on court, I think Celtics have a better head-to-head against the Warriors. Since the Warriors dynasty began, they're the only team to have a winning record against the Warriors. So all of that given, I would say, okay, Celtics. But I think of it against the Warriors. I mean, what did they do wrong? They have not lost a single series ever.
It's not their fault that the fixtures were more easy. Exactly.
I mean, they've lost one series, one playoff series where everyone was fit. I mean, 2019 finals, I know Clay and KD went out, so let's exclude that.
Yeah.
One series, that too was LeBron in like god mode. He was unstoppable.
Correct.
Right? And even that series, Game 5, Draymond missed due to suspension. So they were not fully available.
Yeah, so that can't be a discount, by the way. That can happen in any series, including this one.
It can't. I'm not saying that. So that's why I said they lost one series properly when everyone was fit.
Yeah.
And that was against LeBron. I mean, LeBron is once in a generation player, once in a century player even.
Yeah, so, I don't think Tatum's that. That's another, yeah.
They have not lost like over 8 years in a playoff series. So how can you bet against this team? And I just don't see that happening. I mean, to lose four games on seven, just difficult.
And they have home court.
Home court, yeah. If it goes down to a game seven, I don't see the Warriors losing
in that arena, with the way they're
unbeaten in the postseason at home.
How strong the Warriors are at home, how amazing their crowd is, maybe Phoenix can rival them, that's about it. It staples if Kobe's in the building. I've never seen them that loud with LeBron and AD. So, best arena, best crowd. if the games get tight, which is your least expectation, I don't think if the Celtics are going to win, it's going to be like a sweep or a gentleman sweep.
The other way around, I don't think the Warriors are going to sweep it or
I think they're going to win it in 5 or 6.
Five is a stretch, I guess.
5 or 6 close games, but I'm counting on the Warriors to finish them off. And why I say that is because home or away, Warriors are better in the clutch. And for them, clutch starts from the second half onwards. They're amazing in the third quarter, which is the best way to put games away. And then just hold in the fourth. They can do both. They can also come back strong in the fourth because they can make threes rain like very few teams can. Celtics can do it on a good day. Warriors can do it on most days. That's the big difference. And they get clutch stops. So all of this says they're better finishers. They have home court advantage. There's too many things in their favor. And a lot of their three shooting also can happen off the dribble. So now with Poole and Steph Curry, both of whom can do it off the dribble, both of whom can pull up from deep, their range is incredible. And then with Draymond in there disrupting defenses, creating pick and roll opportunities, Looney with the screens, their off the ball movement and set shot shooting with Clay. You've got Wiggins, who's another unaccounted for. Yeah, so it's too much. There's just way too much there. I know Celtics, starting five, maybe Celtics appear to be well matched. And you'd fancy their chances. But I think squad versus squad, the Warriors are ahead, plus championship DNA, better coaching, proven track record winning, home court advantage, better finishing. It's too much. It would be downright poetic and a fairy tale miracle if Celtics clinch this.
Agreed. I mean, I just can't. I mean, you've said this multiple times, right? I wouldn't bet on anything that has not happened in the past. I have not seen Warriors lose except that one series. So if I have to put money on the series, there's no way I'm not picking the Warriors. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
They know how to close games. That's the major factor, and the Celtics don't. Even in this Miami series, it should not have gone down to Game 7. It should not have gone down to the last shot of Game 7. So, but it did. And also, I think the Celtics are a little more gassed. The Warriors have played two less games this playoffs.
Yeah.
But on a much relaxing schedule than the Celtics. Celtics have played every alternate day since May 2nd until this game 7.
Yeah.
So that's hard. I mean, no matter the fitness levels, I know it's a young team. Tatum's one of the fittest guys out there. Marcus Smart is a warrior and whatnot. But end of the day, you're human and it's physical. So they're going to be tired.
Little bit of a soft corner though. Tatum repping Kobe, that's got to count for something in that game 7. That was a nice touch.
Agreed. And I find it very, I mean, Boston Celtics, apart from the Warriors, I think I've watched more Boston Celtics games than any other.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Any other team, because they're on national TV all the time, along with the Warriors, right? And it's early part of the evening for me and all of that. So I like the Celtics. I've enjoyed watching them and I find it very difficult to root against them. I mean, they're very likable characters. I always enjoyed Jaylen Brown because in my fantasy league team, right from last year. So 2 years in a row, I've been supporting Jaylen Brown. You can't really hate Tatum because he's a star, up and coming.
I loved it.
Humble. Yeah. Marcus Smart, he's a warrior. It's easy to dislike him if needed. Like, he's like Draymond Green. It's easy to dislike Draymond Green if you're not rooting for him. So, depends on which
side
you're
on. It's pretty much the same thing. He's Eastern Conference Draymond Green, pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly. Horford, you're rooting for him because he's making a comeback of sorts and he's doing well and you like to see that. It's a nice young team. It's hard to dislike. It's the same with the Warriors if you're rooting for the Celtics. How can you dislike someone like Klay Thompson who's returning after 3 years? How can you dislike someone like Steph Curry? I mean, I don't think anyone can dislike
Steph
Curry.
Or a story like GP2 or Jordan Poole, all of these guys. I think it's a nice matchup and a lot. It's a lot more enticing than last season's Phoenix versus the Bucks. Those were two good ball clubs, but largely it was the Giannis story. People tried to make it a can CP3 get his first ring story, but I never felt connected to it. Maybe because I didn't believe that was to be possible, that to be possible. But that was the Giannis finals, and it became the Giannis finals both before it started and then the way he made it his own. He put a stamp like very few people can on a series fans. But this to me seems like a real matchup, although I'm saying in 5 or 6 Warriors.
Agreed. If you had to pick one player who could be the X-factor on both teams, one on each team, I mean, who would you pick? And when I'm saying X-factor, I'm like, you know, Steph will go and get his he'll get his points, and you know, Tatum will go get his job done. Who are the role players who will determine the outcome of the series for you? One on each team, if you had to pick.
Yeah, several, but I think the clear difference maker, the king maker, if you will, they won't take the throne, but they will, in all probability, decide who does. Draymond is the obvious one for for this, the Dubs. I think there's a certain temptation to say Poole or Wiggins or this or that because of the way they offer two-way talent, even Clay for that matter. But Draymond is the nucleus. No Draymond, no party. So including him doing stupid shit and getting himself kicked out of games.
Yeah.
That's a side that they'll have to figure out how to manage because it's entertaining for us, but it's a disaster for them.
Agreed. Every time he goes and talks to the referee, I'm almost praying that please don't give him a technical. And probably in most cases, he's already on one technical. So I'm like, okay.
Same for Marcus Smart. And Marcus Smart probably has more of a metrics impact than Draymond does in terms of direct contribution. Maybe not as much of a team talisman as Draymond is, but then that he makes up with his point scoring. So if his three shooting works, it's a big plus for the Celtics. And if he makes the right decisions, which oftentimes he's suspect. That's the one flaw in his game. Sometimes he just makes terrible decisions. He shoots when he shouldn't. He passes up the ball when he should shoot and stuff like that. If they can manage that aspect, much like how the Warriors should manage Draymond's temperament, and if he can continue to be the locker room leader that he is, he could very well be the X factor. It's both sides of the same coin for me.
Nice. I like your picks. I'd like to pick a little more lesser known players, if I may.
Don't say Wiggins.
Rob Williams for me.
Okay.
No, not Wiggins. Wiggins has had his due. I think he's done well for himself. I think he's cemented his spot in important player this postseason. But I think Rob Williams for the Celtics, because of the size he brings, I think he was not fully fit in the Miami series. I expect him to be a better fit for the series. And there is nobody on the Warriors who can match up to him in size. And he has great shot blocking ability shown in the record in the regular season and also in this postseason. So Rob Williams for me, I think the Warriors will find it tough if they need to go to the basket and get points in the paint. And for the Warriors, I would say GP2 is making a return. And I think he's going to be guarding probably Jason Tatum in most times because he's an undersized big man, if I can put it. He plays all positions. He plays as number four. He plays as the guard.
Yep.
And he makes those open shots look easy when Steph or Clay are double teamed and whatnot. They always find GP2 at the corner. And he more often than not makes. He's 40% from three this season. So I think GP2
is
going to be key.
I like GP2.
Yeah. So those are my picks if I had to pick X factors in the series, apart from the usual suspects, of course. Finally, before we log out for the day... log off of the episode, whatever. I've been working too much. It's very evident, isn't it? You're picking Warriors in how many?
Let's say six. Six Warriors in six.
Six? Okay. I don't know. I mean, I said all this about how I cannot pick against the Warriors, and I'm going Celtics. I'm just for the sake of it. I'm going Celtics in six.
I would have said Warriors in five, actually. I'm actually feeling good about Warriors in five, but let's just say six. I'll give myself buffer.
Yeah, because if it goes to seven, I know that the Warriors are not losing game seven. So that's why the Celtics, if they need to win, they need to close it out in six.
Oh, in six also. Okay.
What? Yeah.
They can't win game seven, therefore you're confident they'll win in six. What an amazing thing.
Either way, I'm happy because the Warriors win, I'm happy. I'm rooting for them. If they lose, well, my prediction came right.
I'm super happy if the Warriors win. Celtics are one behind the Lakers.
So I'm hedging my bets in a way by picking the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all on today's episode. Great fun as always talking to you, and I'll see you after game one after the finals.
All right, man. Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.